When my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face, I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place.
Go ahead, you can sing.
Now I've tuned to you, and the day's all right with me.
Can we all chime in here?
Well, not if you can talk over it.
Captain No Rhythm. Stand by. Here's your point.
I know that it can.
Here we go. Hold on, Steve. Now.
The Steve Cochran Show. Cochran Show. The Steve Cochran Show.
Sometimes, Steve Krasanich, you got to put away your white.
I'm doing the white man overbite right now.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking about banning you from singing the song.
I'm sorry.
It's 6:12 in the morning, and the show rolls for Friday. A couple of business-related things. One, we wish Robert Feeder well. Robert Feeder wrapped up his time at the Chicago Tribune yesterday as he put in the lead of his piece, I've Been Tronked. I laughed.
Tronked.
He had to trademark that, by the way. Tronked TM.
That made me laugh. Robert Feeder's contract was not renewed by the Chicago Tribune, so the city is now without legitimate media coverage, as far as I'm concerned, and that's not good.
How will we know when we've been fired?
What do you mean?
Because usually
we read about that first. Yeah.
Trust me, from someone who's been fired a lot, you'll know. By the way, you're getting close.
Okay. Your parking space will be gone.
Yeah, they changed the lock on my door a week ahead of time.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Yeah, they had the wrong day.
Oh, no. I remember that.
Yeah,
don't you usually know when you try to use your ID and it doesn't work?
No, you know, you pay attention. You know when you're going to get fired. When people stop looking you in the eye, when you're not invited to meetings. I mean, if you're missing the memo that you're going to get fired, you're not paying attention. It'll all be in the book. But, Mr. Feeder, good luck to you. And I always feel that Robert Feeder is fair. It's direct. Terrific writer. And a really good reporter, great journalist.
Always got the scoop, too.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that to suck up to him, because when he comes back, he can write anything he wants about
me. No, he's great.
I think he's terrific.
Well, he says he's going to keep writing at his website, robertfeeder.com.
And the paywall's down for now.
There's no paywall.
It's a new chapter, as he said.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to just be that. I think there'll be other things. Let's bring him out right
now. Yes.
Robert.
Woo, he's here. No, he's not.
Also want to thank Jimmy DeCastro, and Jimmy DeCastro threw a party for the staff last night on the SS Minnow. What was the name of that boat? Do we know what boat that was?
I think it was the St. George.
No.
It had George in it.
George.
The name.
Yeah, because they were wearing T-shirts. The crew was wearing T-shirts that said Summer of George.
Yeah, Summer of George.
The Seinfeld reference, which is funny. Anyway, we took a boat out to the middle of the lake, and we hung out, and we goofed around, and we turned around, and we came back and had a good time.
We had a blast. And to see Walter Jacobson, Dave Ennett, and Benedict Cumberbatch doing the limbo, and Jimmy DeCastro doing the limbo. You did the limbo, too.
No, I was doing the other stuff. I was going around doing a funk check on the party, because there was a lot of white people dancing. And when white people dance, it makes me nervous.
We had a great time. The boat is called the Summer of George.
Yeah. So we had a good time. But thanks to Jimmy DeCastro. In an era where you know the management doesn't throw parties for the staff anymore, he did.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that. And it occurred to me yesterday, you know, we miss birthdays on the show all the time. We celebrate them a week late. You know what we missed on the show? The third anniversary.
Oh, that's right.
Third anniversary of the show returning was Labor Day.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Right. So next week, this is really Mary, yours, and Dave's fault. Because, you know, you can't expect me to remember.
And well, we're the only surviving members. Well, let's do it before, because I leave for Greece late next week. So let's do it early in the week if we have an anniversary party.
What was that, a first world problem sentence?
Oh,
all right, so early next week.
Manicure.
Early next week, let's have a surprise third anniversary show.
Okay.
So what is the gift for the third anniversary?
Gold.
No, you know, it's not. It's actually.
No, it's gonna be like tin or something.
It's golf. Leather. It's what?
Leather.
Leather. Oh, yeah.
Dave, are you sure you're not confusing that with your weekend plans?
You got enough of it.
Well, let me double check.
He is right. It is leather. Did you just know that, or did you have to look it up?
I just knew it.
Leather.
How did you, I don't even want to know how you knew it was leather.
No, I looked it up.
By the way,
so
Dave.
Chaps?
Yeah, I was going to say, don't get him backless.
I don't
chaps.
Need. You know, I don't gift. Need a new pair. That's
right. My gift.
You know, I find that if you take care of the pair of chaps that you have, they'll last you for years. Lou Manfredini's coming up. Lou is going to just fix yourself, fix your house, fix your situation. You got a situation? You need to call and get in line now and ask Lou. First caller always wins a nice prize on a Friday. And Lou's first call before you try to get in line tomorrow. Lou was on a boat yesterday.
Yeah, he was doing the Macarena.
Dressed like Thurston Howell.
He was.
Everybody's hanging out, shorts, you know, flops, whatever.
Boat shoes, yeah.
Our chief engineer, Bill Murdoch, had a hat on that looked like it ought to have a hazmat crew walking around in circles around it.
Yeah, that's seen its
day. Apparently he's had it since he was a camp counselor.
Oh, so that was his. That
yeah,
wasn't
get
like
a new
a
hat,
costume.
Bill.
There was a lot of that going around. Is that a costume, or did they really own that?
Yeah, we had some of the folks were in costume.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one last staff note, Shanae, who handles our video department, is today's her birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday to Shanae.
Happy birthday.
Oh. Birthday. Happy birthday.
He's yeah. great.
If there are any muffins left, John got you a muffin.
Yeah.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Allow me, if I can, now to welcome Thurston Hall to the program. Good morning, Thurston.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going fine. I just realized I hit the wrong line. Hold on. That's John.
Oh, he sounds different.
That's John. John's the first caller.
Yeah.
A lot going on in the studio. Good morning, Thurston.
Yeah, good morning, Lovey. I had time to set up the bit.
Hey, you looked terrific yesterday on the boat, but you were overdressed.
I was. I came from an event, and, you know, once you're dressed, you're dressed.
Yeah, don't
you think,
I know
you
it.
Think the bow tie was too much?
The bow tie that you took off was fine. Yeah. I think when you had the blazer on and when you were walking around, pinky extended while you were.
Well, I had that cigarette holder. I thought was a little, but I liked it. You know, I didn't light the cigarette, but I just held it. And can I say something? A lot of people don't know this about you.
What's that?
I think your calves are your most redeeming quality.
I thought it was my sparkling personality.
Oh, is that? No, definitely.
Yeah,
not
no,
that.
I get a lot of compliments on my calves. Yeah. My calves,
very muscular.
Stunt calves. I do a lot of stunt calf work in Hollywood.
Oh, I thought you meant like. I thought you said stump.
No, a lot
like
of times.
Stumpy.
A lot of times, guys with no calves in Hollywood are skinny calves. And I give you. I don't want to say out loud who it is, but Clooney.
Right. What's that other guy? Magic
Pitt,
Mike. What's
Pitt,
his name?
Clooney Pitt. No, that guy's got good calves. Because I can't think of his name either. So, you know, in the clue.
Channing Tatum.
Yeah, it was him. Channing Tatum. Yeah, Channing Tatum.
So, I know a lot of people were confusing you last night.
They'll fly me out. They'll fly me out to do the cab scenes.
Right, right.
We thought those were actual metal rods, but that's your actual skin.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a muscle.
Yeah, it's something else.
Hey,
what?
Can I plug something real
yeah,
quick?
Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
Sunday is Misericordia Family Fest.
Oh, good.
And it's so much fun if you're looking for something to do with the family and your children and grandparents, whomever. It is going to take place on their campus at 6300 North Ridge Avenue, which is right at Devon Avenue, from 11 to 6 p.m. There's food, there's games, there's fun for the whole family. It is really a terrific event and a great fundraiser, and please come out and check it out. There will be a sighting actually this Saturday at our hardware store in Edgebrook. Joe Madden, you know, is raffling off this Jeep, that this tricked out Jeep, and they're raising money for Cubs charities, for Misericordia, and for his Respect 90 foundation.
Wow,
raffle tickets are $100. The Jeep's worth $70,000. It's actually going to be at our hardware store from noon until 3 in Edgebrook, and then it's going to be at Misericordia on Sunday, too. It is the slickest-looking Jeep Wrangler you've ever seen.
Any way to buy tickets online for people that can't
no,
get there?
No, because of the rules. You can either buy them at Wrigley Field, at Misericordia, or at Edgebrook Ace. $100, only 3,000 tickets are going to be sold.
Well, that's a great deal.
Isn't that nice?
Oh, on Sunday. And, yeah. And you know, go to all those associated websites for any information on Sunday.
Misericordia.com.
Should we go back to John now? Is wondering sure. why I answered the phone and then put him on hold?
Right. And you called him Thurston Howell?
Hey, John, sorry about the confusion. How are you?
Hi, Steve. How's it going?
Good. Fine. You got a question about your chimney for Lou?
Yeah, it's in my mom's house. It's an older chimney. My dad, years ago, put an insert in it, and that big storm we had in June kind of broke the top off, and it slid down inside the chimney. And I was wondering if there was a tool we can buy or how to get that out of there to replace it.
You're going to try and do this yourself?
Oh, we always do things ourselves out here.
All right. Okay. well, the thing.
We try anyway. Yeah. We can. We'll have to call somebody.
Yeah. It's a little difficult. There's not really a tool per se to get down there, but you know, there, depending on how far, there are clamps that are extend where you have a handle. You know, similar to those, you know, those grabbers that a lot of folks that have a hard time bending down will use.
Salad,
you know?
Tongs? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, but they're really long.
Super,
you know?
Long salad tongs?
Essentially, there's a commercial version of that.
Yeah, the grippers.
But they're usually 3 feet is the max. And depending on the problem with a liner is if it's dropped, it's probably wedged in there. And so you can't really get a good grip to get down there to pull it up, you know, before it'll snap away.
Well, how do you get it out without disassembling the chimney?
That's what you do.
You got to knock the chimney down?
Well, you usually have to take at least the cap off, the crown of the chimney, so that you have a, you know, the chimney comes up, you know, imagine a rectangle. Then that concrete top is called the crown.
Mm-hmm.
And that, when you take that crown off, the chimney is larger, where you literally can reach down in there, or, you know, if you had to, with some type of apparatus to grab on, and you have a larger area to work from.
So it's a pain, but it's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world, but it's a big job. This is something that our friends at Lindemann Chimney would be able to accomplish.
Oh, yeah, that's a great point.
If they can't do it themselves.
That's a great point. You got to be careful you don't damage the roof when you're taking
or
the chimney
fall
down.
From the roof.
Fall from the roof is an issue. Well, listen, don't hang up, John, because for being on the program and for getting that terrible news from Lou.
Sorry.
You're a big winner. And you're a big winner of? You're probably wondering what you're a big winner of.
Got a Wi-Fi thermostat.
I've got it. I've totally got it.
Yeah.
Got an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home and the home's air on your smartphone. Brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Man. Call 855-955-HVAC. To the texters, dear Stephen Lou, out here at my single wide at What's the Matter You? I tried to plug into my Mr. Microphone to charge, but the plug keeps falling out. Is there a way to fix this? Do I need to find a guy? You know, that's a problem I have at one of my outlets.
Really?
I got loose plug situations.
Yeah. Usually, if you can't spread the insert of the actual plug, then the receptacle itself has to be replaced. I mean, there are metal contacts inside of that can get stretched out, and if it's super loose like that, when I go to New York once a month, the hotel that I stay at has loose outlets, drives me crazy. I tell them every time I'm there, I'm like, you know, you got loose outlets up there. Like, yeah, whatever, buddy. It's New York. Who cares about you?
Yeah, exactly.
But
you replace more than the faceplate. You got to replace the outlet.
The actual receptacle itself.
Yeah.
They're okay. Very, I mean, not that I want people to mess around with electrical unless you're super confident with it, but receptacles are really inexpensive. It's a couple bucks.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're not expensive at all.
I didn't know that. Question for Lou, another texter. I'm buying a new construction home. Would you recommend a home inspection?
Absolutely. You know, really, if you're, I've recommended to people, if you're buying a new construction home, and in particular, if you're buying it prior to it being finished, it's something that you can negotiate with the builder, which they don't like this, but I would have the inspectors come in at certain times during the construction process, meaning once it's all framed, and the electrical is in and the HVAC is in before insulation and drywall, it's great to have and pay for an inspector to come and give it just a quick look. You know, hey, what about this? What about that? And then at the final as well. In particular, if you just don't know what to look for, it's definitely money well spent. That will probably end up costing you a dual inspection like that somewhere in the neighborhoods of about $500, but it's definitely worth it.
One more texter, Lou, I need to take out a deck and replace it with a patio. I'm hiring someone. Is there a checklist I should follow before I do that?
Well, if we're taking out the deck, the biggest issue is that wherever that deck was connected to the home, you have to make sure that it gets repaired properly so that there's no water infiltration. You know, if the house was sided and there's a what's called a ledger board that is what connected the deck to the home, that needs to be flashed properly. And then the patio, you know, you really have to make sure that the sub grading underneath it is done. Any kind of patio, driveway, in a patio situation, you want about 4 inches of compacted stone down before you either put pavers or concrete or whatever it is you may put back there. So that's really important. And that might be two different contractors, because usually people that do patios are not doing demos on decks.
What do? Do they sub it out?
Well, I mean, if you know, if it's a concrete patio, then it's a concrete contractor, and typically those guys aren't interested in taking your deck down. You know, need a carpenter to do that carpentry work, as I mentioned.
But does the concrete guy hire the deck guy?
Potentially, sure. Yeah, potentially. Or if you're doing a brick patio, chances are it's a landscape contractor, and I don't necessarily know that I would trust a landscape contractor to make sure that my house is properly buttoned up from a flashing perspective.
Any staff questions this morning? Any whiny staff questions? Maybe Dave?
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
Can I tell you, when I saw him yesterday on that boat, he must have asked me that question three separate times. I go, enough.
I'm sorry.
Do you
enough.
Think it's a memory issue?
My buckthorn is exploding.
Notice he was babbling?
Maybe you could write out an answer for him and give it to him.
The problem, you know, the problem with trips like that is they had an open bar. Where was Dave all day?
He was by the open and the bar.
Yeah. He kept saying, if I jump off, you think I could swim back? I go, no.
No.
He did say that. Yeah. No. Just because the water looked inviting. Right. That's all.
Got weird when he grabbed the mop and started to swab the deck.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Right. It was pretty funny.
Who wants to play Sailor and the Maiden? Dave.
Remember when he started calling you Ernest Borgnine?
He did.
Right.
Yeah. He said, tip it over. Let's see who survives. All right, buddy. We'll see you on TV.
Love you.
That's Lou. I'll love you back. That's Lou Manfredini, live from Channel 9 this morning. And he'll be on Channel 9 here in a few minutes. All of it sponsored by American Weathermakers.
The Steve Cochran Show.
We're going to break in here. There's a breaking story going on out of, is this New York, Tommy?
Yes, it is. Spectacular pictures coming out of New York City right now of what looks like, and we're getting initial reports, that it looks like a plane crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
And very slow day for you on the tolls. Here's WTN.
Mary, can I interrupt you? We have to get back to the situation in New York. It now looks like the other tower has been hit, Midway and O'Hare. In fact, all the airports in the Chicago area have been shut down. Now there is also a report that they're going to shut down the entire air traffic system across the country, closing all the airports as a precaution.
Sunday will be the 15th anniversary of 9/11. You all remember where you were when it happened and how it changed our world, changed our lives forever. On that day, Spike Odell a few minutes earlier, and Dave, I'm sure you were working that morning.
Yes, I was.
Said, slow news day. Beautiful day, September, slow news day. Well, it wasn't slow for long. And nothing's been the same since. You can certainly make the argument that our economy has never recovered. You can make the argument that everything we know and are concerned about in regards to terrorism it comes from that day. And you can make the argument that Trump and Hillary come from that day. There's an awful lot of good that comes from that day as well. And if you remember the days afterwards, the unity that we had, the bipartisan patriotism that we had is something I wish we could get back to without a tragedy. But that, to some extent, I suppose, is human nature. On that day, we were in network coverage till about, I want to say 1 o'clock maybe, and I was doing the midday show at that point. As a matter of fact, it wasn't that long after Bob Collins had died and the lineup had juggled. And I was doing this weird show, like, there was Paul Harvey, mm-hmm. and I think it went on like at 12:40 or something, right? There was this weird news block to 3, and I finally got on the air about 1:30, but driving in from the west, there's a spot on the Stevenson where you come into town where you come around a curve, around a bend, and it's your first shot of the city skyline. And knowing what had happened at that point just a couple of hours earlier and still not knowing if we were through it, seeing the city skyline, you couldn't help but look at what was called the Sears Tower then and go, well, you know, and you're looking for a plane.
Yeah.
You know, what's next?
Nothing was in the sky.
And nothing was on the road. Mm-hmm. Nothing was on the city streets. don't ever want to experience anything like it again. The eerie feeling of what could happen next. Because the thing for me that morning was when the Pentagon got hit.
Yeah.
Because you said, okay, this is a horrible, this is horrific, because we thought there were 20, 30,000 people in the Twin Towers. And it is as nauseating and as horrible as 3,000 deaths are. It's amazing to me that at that hour of the morning, mm-hmm. On a Tuesday, that is the number of people that were actually in those two giant buildings. We're very lucky, mm-hmm. very lucky in that regard. But more so than Flight 93, which crashed in a field in Pennsylvania, the thing that made it unbelievable for me, and we don't know what's going to happen next, was the Pentagon. Because that plane, we now know, was probably headed for the White House or the Capitol. They had a series of targets, White House, Capitol, Pentagon, Capitol, White House, Pentagon. The order doesn't matter. And the pilot, for whatever reason, decided he couldn't hit those two, and then that animal drove it into the side of the Pentagon. And I remember at that point telling Maureen, we got to get the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea is you got to be together. You got to get your family wherever you are, get them together as fast as you possibly can, and figure out what's next. So as much as we've recovered from that day, I get up every morning. I told somebody this the other day. The first thing I do when I wake up, and I'd like to tell you it's because of my unbelievable professionalism, mm-hmm. is I reach for the phone and I see what happened overnight.
Yeah.
And the reason I see what happened overnight is because I have a sense, which I'll have for the rest of my life, that the other shoe's going to drop.
Yeah.
And it's all related to 9/11.
It completely changed all of our worlds.
Every
way. In every single way. I remember Tom Peterson that day, too. We were in the newsroom, and he had stepped away. He was on the air. Obviously, we were wall to wall. And he stepped away, and right after Flight 93 crashed, Tom was the one, and I think you were there, too, Dave. Tom said, somebody on that plane tried to be a hero. And we said, wait, what? He said, that fourth plane is involved, and for it to crash in a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, he said someone on that plane had was trying to play hero. And he was absolutely right.
The Let's Roll guys actually forced that plane to go down in the field, because you remember the terrorists wanted their fame and their coverage. They were encouraging people on 93 to call their family members and tell them what was going on. I remember going on the air and saying, you know, how angry I was and how angry we all were, but that we're going to recover. We're the United States. We're going to recover. We're going to be better. We're going to be stronger. From this, we did recover.
I think we did too.
I don't know that we're stronger. I don't know that we've ever gotten to a point where we're stronger. And all the bitching and the bickering and the back and forth that goes on now at an unprecedented level, I think if Bin Laden won anything, he lit that fire.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the fire he's living in is a little hotter.
Yes.
But it's important to stop down every year and remember those that died, and we'll do that on Sunday. CNN and MSNBC and Fox and all the networks will cover that extensively. There's some specials on Sunday night, Monday night, in and around 9/11. But it's, you know, if you got a kid that's a 15-year-old, they have no idea what
no,
that was.
No, none at all. In fact, Judy Pilak had brought her youngest in, and I remember he was coloring in Tom's office while we were covering this. And
and
it just, we went home, but just could not stop watching the television for you know, 24 hours straight, just watching this.
Well, and the difference in ages
still can't talk about it without tearing up.
Oh, it's awful. But the difference in ages is funny, too, because Amy was 14.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because your kids were the same as mine. I had an eighth grader, a fifth grader, and a kindergartner.
I don't know if you noticed this or not, but Amy at 14, so my 14-year-old and my 10-year-old, Ross is a very smart guy. He's 25 now. But the impact in 9/11 on him is way different than the impact on Amy. So just those 4 years.
Right.
At 14, she took it all in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a freshman in high school, and it was a huge deal, and mm-hmm. what's going to happen next. As long as Ross had his family and his buddies and school, you know, he seemed to be okay. It's not like he doesn't understand the impact, but
yeah,
I'm just saying the feelings
were
different.
Yeah, that was like fourth, fifth grade he was in, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah. I don't know if you had the same impact.
But my son didn't really have a clue. But they had the TVs on in some of the schools.
Yeah.
So these kids kind of knew it. I didn't even get a chance to pick my kids up till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They kept them in the school.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The kids finished the school day.
They did. They finished the school day, which I was like, I want to pick them up. Come on.
Right.
Let them out. I was especially for my kindergartner, I was going crazy.
But they have no I mean, obviously, because they're kids. You know, think of what impacted your parents, President Kennedy being shot, whatever it would be, that didn't really have that big of an impact on you. This is a game changer for all of us. We live through this and we remember it and literally can't talk about this without getting chills or tearing up.
Sure.
Yet there's a whole generation after ours.
Yeah, and it's important to talk to your kids, talk to your kids, talk to your grandkids, and tell them why Sunday's significant.
And they lived with safety issues their whole life. TSA issues, that whole thing, they've lived with them.
Well, yeah, we didn't even talk about that.
All of that.
You think about the fact that when you went to pick up kids, your kids, whoever, went to pick up somebody at the airport, you go right to the gate.
Oh, yeah, remember that? Sure.
I had been in Las Vegas for a football game the previous weekend, and I had an 8 o'clock flight on Saturday morning out of Vegas to come home, and I literally arrived at the Las Vegas airport, which takes, you know, you have to take a shuttle and it takes a while to get from the front door to the gate, right? I probably got there at 7:45, maybe, or just cut, you know, right to the plane, and I walked
no
on.
No issues.
And the thing that struck me a few days later was it will never be like that again. No. It never has been.
No. I literally remember the last flight I took before 9/11 would have been, again, the preceding weekend. It was going back to New York where I grew up. And I remember at O'Hare walking up to clear security, and the guy in security was reading something. Remember we used to read magazines?
Yes.
And he was reading something in a magazine. He looked up. He goes, "Nah, you're fine. Go."
Yeah. It's true.
I had a carry-on. It was just get on the plane.
My uncle was in the air on 9/11. He was flying to Vegas with his friends, and obviously, all the planes that were in the air were grounded immediately. Right. He said they were on the ground. And, you know, they say your descent will begin now and it takes 20 minutes.
Yeah, it wasn't gradual.
Oh, no. He was on the ground in less than 5 minutes. And he and a bunch of guys, because everything was grounded, all the air travel, all the airplanes. They had to land in Peoria. And a bunch of guys on the plane that he was with, they rented a car and drove back.
I do think that it's part and parcel to why this station matters so much to the city of Chicago, which is way bigger than us and way bigger than, I mean, it goes all the way back to the beginning to now. And I think of somebody like Orion, and I've never talked to Orion about this, but Orion's 83 years old, and he's old enough to have lived through Pearl Harbor. He announced the Kennedy assassination, and he lived through 9/11. When you live through world-changing events again and again and again, be curious to get his perspective on, I don't know, do you rank them? You know, which has bigger impact on you? I don't know.
I'm sure they all affect
I guess it depends on where you are in life. We have a special guest on the phone.
Oh,
who right mostly, now? I guess, wants to talk to Dave. Let's go to the phone. Good morning.
Good morning.
I think you know this. This is the legendary Bobcat.
Oh,
wow. This is Borislav. How's my radio people doing?
We're doing fine, Borislav. It's been a long time. How are you?
I'm good. I want to thank David Enat because he saved my life again.
David Enat?
No, Enat.
Oh, yes. David Enat. Yeah. So David Enat saved your life. Well, that's nice. How did that happen?
No, well, I have a problem. I take break from being mascot for Northwestern. I moved to Racin. I'm now in the rehab center up here.
Okay. Move to
he's
where?
Rehab?
I had heard there was a problem. Yeah. Now, one thing, Boris, I don't think you were ever officially the mascot for Northwestern. The depth chart had you listed third. So
no, I know. But he gave me a job at Walmart now.
Oh, I did not know that. You're working at
I'm greeter at Walmart, and when people come in, I say, welcome, but you have to get cart. I'm too small.
Right, because you're a bobcat. Now, I couldn't help but notice the word rehab in the sentence there. Are you okay?
No, I'm... hang on. I get mush. Yes, I'm okay. Things are better for me up here in Racin, and it's okay.
So what are you... Well, I don't know how else to ask this other than just ask it. What are you addicted to?
To moon pies.
Oh, the moon pies. Those are pretty tasty.
I cannot stop eating moon pies or scooters, pies. David, he found me in gutter. I was sitting there with chocolate and marshmallow in face.
I understand.
And he said, you got problem. And Stephen, you must know, first step in addiction is to admit that I have problem.
That's absolutely true.
True story. Looked like a big furry s'more.
And good for him for recognizing it. Are there meetings for people who have your problem?
No, I go by myself.
I understand. So it's probably not that well-known an addiction. Well, it's good that you're turning your life around.
It's things happening. I work part-time at Walmart now, but I hope to go full-time and then come back when football season starts. David said he called me when games begin.
Yeah, they don't begin, Borislav, for a few more weeks. Here.
Well, Borislav, will you please stay in touch with us a little more frequently so we know how you're doing?
Oh, you have always been my friends. I will come and bring pizza for all of you.
Oh, what? Right. Pizza, we get a piece of pizza. Brought us pizza.
How'd you get that?
Yeah. I speak Borislav. I understand.
I wonder if there's, is there video of Enut pulling Borislav out of the gutter?
If there were, it would have gone viral. Would have been on TMZ by now. Huh. Borislav, let us know if you're near. I know you like to go by the Bean.
Oh, I love the Bean. I lived there for a long time. Then Duns and then now Rasen.
Have you ever had pizza at the Bean?
I did. Pizza at Bean is the best.
How about moon pies?
Don't taunt somebody.
Oh, that's unbelievable. All right, Borislav, hold the line. Well, that's nice to hear from him.
Third-string
mascot for the Northwestern Wildcats. Well,
he's in Russin?
He's at a rehab center. We can't say exactly where.
Right. Okay.
Coming up, a special guest and Coach Fitz in just a few minutes. Hamp next hour, or this hour as well. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. Back with the news next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
We got a special guest standing by. And a special guest standing by. Let me start with Coach Pat Fitzgerald from your Northwestern Wildcats. Got a surprise good luck guest for you, Coach, in just a second. You don't trust me.
I need all the help I can get.
You don't trust me, but I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Dave Bennett's here as well. And, well, let me bring her in right now. Because here we go into the Illinois State game tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach has got a game plan. He's ready. But every little bit can help. Joining us now on the phone, one of the most beautiful women in the world, Cindy Crawford. Morning, Cindy. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Didn't you spend a little time at Northwestern?
I did. That is where I went to college right out of high school.
Well,
and then that is where I left college when I started modeling full time.
So, Coach Fitz, I thought along with the primary reason Cindy's on the phone, this would be a perfect opportunity to get you two together so she could wish you luck tomorrow in the game.
Thanks, Cindy. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good luck. There definitely has been improvements in the football team because I went to school there.
Did you go to football?
We don't talk about those years anymore. So, yeah, very proud of the guys that played for us back then, and we stand upon their shoulders. But we've come a long way. Absolutely.
Well, Cindy's
Cindy's
going to be in town for a big deal next Wednesday, courtesy of our friends at Allstate, and honoring one of her favorite people and one of the best photographers ever. But before we jump to that, Coach, along with having Cindy Crawford on your side, what else do you need for tomorrow to get it done?
Well, I think we started the weekend off pretty well last night with Trevor Siemian and the way he played. And I don't think there was an avid Wildcat fan that wasn't watching that game. We're proud of him. And that's a great way to get the thing started. And then, quite frankly, we've got to execute better. We made a lot of critical errors out there on Saturday, and a lot of guys had some of their first experience and learned, and we got to do a better job getting them in the right places. And but the guys stuck together well. We had a chance to win. We can't make the mistakes down the stretch that we made in a close game against a good team. So guys that were focused, and I believe they're ready to go play tomorrow.
Coach, you talked to Trevor any time this week before that game?
Yeah, Dave, just via text. I know how busy he is.
Sure.
And I didn't want to blow him up and waste his time from the standpoint of, I'm sure everybody that's ever been coaching him or part of his family was probably reaching out to him. So, like Trevor, though, he always sent me back a message and, really happy for him last night. Just, I think, one of many wins to come in his professional career.
And I feel good about you guys tomorrow, even though I know Brock's back and the guys at Illinois State have a good program. But, Coach, I also know you totally understand what I'm about to say to you. I'd rather talk to Cindy Crawford than you from this point forward.
Well, I appreciate your honesty. At times, I think there's some shenanigans that are pulled. At least you're being honest right now. I greatly appreciate it.
Coach, have a great game tomorrow. Cindy, any last-minute advice for Coach Fitz?
No. Go Wildcats.
There you go.
We got to get Cindy before you get off. We got to get you to say go Cats, and we'll get that going all over social media. It'd be a lot of fun.
So, oh, that's
true. Your time in Chicago.
Okay.
Hey to all of our fans. We'll see you tomorrow. It's going to be great. Let's go.
See ya.
All right. That's fantastic. Go Cats.
I think Cindy Crawford just made his day, his year.
Yeah, let's get
everything else is water.
Let's get a clean Go Cats here. All right, Cindy, whenever you're ready, just give me a Go Cats.
Oh, we're just doing voice recording?
No, we're live, but I'm just saying if you do this, this will make Coach's day. Just give me a Go Cats.
Okay, Go Cats.
See, that's all you need.
Yeah, that's
great. All you need. You know, last time we talked to you, I think it was about the book Becoming, which a beautiful book. And one of the people that's being honored next week, presented by Allstate at this amazing event, the Chicago Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events are honoring four Chicago artists and advocates in a cultural institution. It's a free public event with performances and video tributes and some great folks on stage to honor their friends. And it's going to take place at the Pritzker Pavilion next Wednesday night. Again, courtesy of Allstate. And Cindy, tell us about your friend, the great photographer Victor Skrobensky.
Yes. Well, Victor was really my first mentor. I always call him, he's like the big fish in the small pond. Not that Chicago's a small pond, but in the fashion world, New York's the big pond.
Sure.
And normally, when people get to the level of a Skrobensky, they migrate to New York or Paris or London or Milan. And Victor, I think, was confident enough about his work and the kind of work he was doing that he felt like he could still live in Chicago, which he had grown up in and loved, and people would come to him. And
right.
They did. You know, he was Estee Lauder's number, you know, main photographer for almost 25 years and, you know, was able to shoot the magazines and stuff that normally would only use New York photographers. So for me, by working with Victor, it was a way to introduce me to that world of New York while I was still, you know, quote unquote, home in Chicago. And it was just a nice, you know, a nice transition for me. And he's just, I mean, he really does. Like some of his black and white images, portraits of people, they're the type of pictures that gets better over time. You know, they're timeless, sure. They're rich, he just knows how to capture something. And it's really quite simple, his, you know, it's not like a gazillion things going on. It's just like, you know, I think there's one of like Betty Davis, like, you know, smoking a cigarette or something. And it's like, it's just nothing, but it says so much about her, you know?
Well, that probably makes a great photographer, right? Mm-hmm. To have the eye to see what's there and not try to make more there than is there. I know absolutely nothing about it, but I know I like it when I look at it. And I called Skrobensky mm-hmm. your friend. Is that fair to say? I would think with the work you did, great photographers probably had to be your friend on some point, right?
Yeah. I mean, when I first started working with Victor, he was very intimidating. But I learned so much from him. I mean, he really, if anyone taught me how to model, it was Victor. How to understand, like, the model's job is to wear, you know, we're trying to show the clothes in their best possible light.
Right.
So he really taught me to look at the clothes and understand, like, what is special about the skirt or shirt? What are we trying? What's the message? What's the story that we're trying to tell in this picture? You know, but I also was young and there was, we didn't start out as friends. We started out as young model and mentor. But over the years, we've become friends. And it's so nice to have those full circle moments with people in your lives, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, for us, we're lucky Victor's been around long enough that full circle has been able to happen. And now, yes, I definitely consider him a friend. But even, I feel almost like he's like a proud uncle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Cindy, I'm sure you're passing a lot of your advice about mentoring and everything you've been through down to your daughter, who, congratulations, by the way. Your daughter is just stunning and beautiful and so poised. And she just won this week the Breakthrough Model Award. And you were there too.
Well, as you know, I was a former champion
of that.
Well, of
course,
that,
yeah,
know.
Right.
Yeah, right.
But congratulations. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you pass a lot of that on to her too. She's got a good head on her shoulders.
You know, it's funny because people ask her and people ask me, well, what do I teach her? And really the only things that I teach her are things that I would teach her if she was, you know, going to work. Like my son's first job was in a juice store and I taught him the same things, which was be on time, be professional, be polite, you know, don't be on your phone. I can't really teach them how to model.
Right.
So it's up to, those will be, their victors will have to teach them that.
How did
you know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, that's nice.
You learn from being in front of the camera. So as their mom, when a great photographer, they're lucky because they have access, probably, you know, probably mostly people originally knew about them as my kids. So they get access to these great photographers. And I'm like, yes, because you'll learn that from that guy. You'll learn this from that stylist.
But that's probably good advice for anybody as a parent who's got a kid that gets into the business or a similar business, right? You can open doors, but once your child walks through that door, it's up to them.
Absolutely. You know, it's a blessing and a curse, and they definitely get in. But then you don't have the staying power if you don't have the goods. I mean, just, you know, it's funny. Even Kaya asked me yesterday about, because we're here in New York for Fashion Week. Mm-hmm. And she was like, what's the point of the shows? Because, you know, is it to show the editors? Is it to... I said, it's to sell clothes. In the end, everyone...
Right.
All they're trying to do is sell their clothes. So what they're trying to figure out is the best way to do that. If it's through, like, the Yeezy show, which was disruptive and got a lot of, it, you know, media attention. But, you know, maybe some people were annoyed because... It did disrupt the schedule because these fashion people have their fashion week schedules down, you know, down to the second.
Sure.
Or is it being traditional, or is it maybe in the future, maybe it won't even be shows at all? Because what like Tommy Hilfiger did and Tom Ford, they did shows where now the clothes are instantly available.
Right.
Because before, shows were only to show the buyers, but because of social media, now everyone sees everything right away.
Yeah, it's a direct link to actually sell. You know, but at any point in your career, because, and I apologize if it's a stupid question, but it wouldn't be the first one I've asked.
Stupid question.
But at any point in your career, did you have to wear one of the, because I remember seeing, I think it was Iman, with this crazy propeller on top of her head, you know, and a giant building hanging off her back. And, you know, clothes that obviously are never going to be worn by the average person on the street. What are the point of those in Fashion Week?
It depends on the designer. I mean, it's kind of at the designer's whimsy, or maybe they're trying to make a statement, or they're just a little cuckoo. You know, I don't know. I've certainly
cuckoo would be part of it.
That weird on a runway, but I've had to wear some weird. You know, there's doing photo shoots. You're like, what is this? Who would wear this? I can't even figure out how to put it on.
Right.
Cindy, who was the first celebrity when you were actually walking the runway and you thought, oh my gosh, they're at my show?
That, it was different. Celebrities didn't really, as a model, you were more nervous and probably still are if Anna Wintour's at the show. Mm. Anna Wintour is, you know, she is the reigning queen of all things fashion. But when I was doing shows, they weren't like, people didn't go to shows to be seen.
Because those folks go, they're not going to just see the clothes. They're going for the photo op and the shot on Access or Entertainment Tonight or whatever.
Yes. So it wasn't like that. So I can't remember. Or my brain's just, you know, I can't remember.
Well, it's very early. No, it's early, and we appreciate it. This is not, and believe me, I know this, Cindy, as well as you do. This is not traditional supermodel hours.
Yes.
I know, when
it is mother hours, and I have two children, so it's not really early for me.
Well, I suppose that's true, right. And is your son still at the juice store, or is he doing something else?
No, he actually started modeling a little bit too. So as a family, we're in Fashion Week, and everyone's doing their own things, and then kind of meeting up, and it's pretty cool because they're old enough to do that now. It's crazy.
It is nice.
That's cool.
I want to remind people what the deal is again here. It's the Chicago Department of Cultural Affairs and Social Events, four Chicago artists and arts advocates, and one cultural institution being honored at the third annual Fifth Star Awards, presented by Allstate. It's Wednesday night, 7:00, Pritzker Pavilion at Millennium Park. Buddy Guy, Victor Skribniewski, Jackie Taylor, Carlos Tortolero, and the Second City all being honored, and Cindy will present for her friend, photographer Victor. Hope you guys have a lot of laughs, and thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, and I think there's going to be entertainment, so I think it's going to be a nice show. There's going to be video montages and stuff. I'm just a little confused why it's called the Five Star, and there's only four people being honored, but that's just me.
Right. Well, yeah. You're
I'm
not
like, where's the fifth star?
The fifth star, I think, is Second City. I think that's what
yeah,
they
did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How they did the add up. But anyway, have a great trip in. We'll see you in town, hopefully.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Thanks, and thanks for the Go Cats.
Huh? Were nicely done.
Right?
By the way, done. Buddy Guy being honored, too, at the event.
I think I mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are some guys that maybe on the team are a little too young to appreciate a go catch from Cindy Crawford, but I believe she made the coaching staff's day.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. And by the way, our conversation with Coach Fitz, sponsored by Fields, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, and Glenview, a member of Fields Auto Group.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
He's the worst quarterback that has played in the NFL the last 5 years.
Period.
Loser. And that's embarrassing. We look like losers.
And they weren't ready. Weren't ready.
He went from all Sean to some Sean to no Sean in about a month here. If you're not going to help us, get out of the damn way.
Period.
It's almost like he's paralyzed by indecision. And folks,
I got
okay,
a better. I got a better word for it, Danny. I'm about to be possible this kid takes scared to death pill.
It's actually several words. Are you going to tell OB? I'm not going to. If he thinks that's one word, that's fine with me.
That's okay.
At 7:41, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com, our friend Dan Hampton joins us, the Hall of Famer. So good to have you back, buddy. How are you?
Good morning, and you're right. It's the Popes of postgame. We're back, and it's going to be a raucous year, and you know, I got to tell you, last night, a lot of folks, you know, had the Carolina Panthers going into Denver and settling the score. It didn't happen. Well, you never know in this league. And, you know, I'm despite what we've seen in the offseason, despite what we were able to witness in the preseason games, I'm still pretty optimistic about this football team.
Is that right? Well, that is good to hear. Period. Let's plug the post game. You guys should hit about 3:30. I'm thinking on Sunday. Is that right?
Be 3 o'clock.
Actually, we go 3 to 6, and the NFL is you know always trying to be tidy about the completion of the game around 3. So we are you know going 3 to 6, and 3 hours really isn't enough to encapsulate what we're going to say about this football game.
Before we talk about the home team, let's talk about them. A lot of injuries, but a lot of guys coming back at the wrong time for us, including J.J. Watt. Now, what was the nature of the injury, and how healthy is he?
Well, he had issues with his back. Last year, you know, he was kind of stoved up in the playoffs and then had required a procedure earlier in the summer, missed basically all of camp. After watching some of the preseason game film of our offensive line, there was a fight at the bat rack. He couldn't wait to get back, but we've made some arrangements for him with the signing of Josh Sitton and getting Kyle Long back. So J.J. Watt is he's an amazing player, and I expect him to be you know flying around and doing what he does, but. You know, defense has 11 guys. We can't be overly concerned with one. They've got a lot of good players on that side of the football.
Including Jadeveon Clowney. Is he going to get more attention than Watt?
I don't think he'll ever get as much attention, but you better pay some to him. You know, he was the first overall pick in the draft 2 years ago. He's fought injuries and inconsistency, but he's, you know, he's kind of taken the ether, and he realizes what it is required to play in this league. But Whitney Merciless, a kid from Illinois, I think he had 12 and a half sacks last year. So they've got three defensive linemen that can get after you. They got a couple of linebackers that are very physical. This defense will remind you an awful lot of the Packers' defense of 3-4 years ago when we had issues and trouble with them. So they're going to be you know a worthy opponent. But you know that's the reason you know we draft, we prepare, we practice. We'll see what happens.
How do you attack them from a Bears offensive standpoint when they look so miserable and what they did show in the preseason?
Well, and there's a lot of ways to explain it. You know, there's a lot of reasons to explain it, a lot of them are easy to understand but hard to accept. I'll just say this. The offense never was in rhythm. They never really seemed to have a concise idea of what they were trying to accomplish. They were fighting, you know, some missing folks on the offensive line. Some receivers were in and out of the lineup. But getting Zach Miller and Eddie Royal back will be huge. The signing of the Green Bay Packer reject, Josh Sitton at left guard, is huge. Moving Larson back to center. That's a lot of good things have happened in the last 10 days since the last preseason game. So are we going to be able to line up and be competent and have those, you know, good game plans? And I'm hoping so, because the new offensive coordinator is a guy that nobody really knows a whole lot about. I will tell you this, that he played at Arkansas many, many moons ago. But the bottom line is, there's really no track record on him. So, you know, the Houston Texans don't know what to expect. I'm personally thinking we're going to do an awful lot of zone block run and then a lot of bootleg and drags and getting the ball, you know, in the intermediate area down the field. It's a plan that I think fits Jay Cutler perfectly. It's a plan that Jay Cutler flourished in Denver, and nobody's really ran it since. So, you know, it's been 4 or 5 years. It'll be a good time to kind of bring this off the drawing board and throw it up on the field and see if a defense wants to stop it.
We'll talk about the Bears coming back with Dave Ennett, and he'll get into Hamp's business here in just a second. But first, what? Traffic. Well, that kind of came out wrong. Hamp, watch your business. Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. The Hall of Famer Dan Hampton's with us. Dave Ennett, say hi to him.
Hamp, good morning.
Well, Mr. Caddy, are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm very curious to see what this team looks like on Sunday. And one of the areas where they have gone through a rough time certainly has been the secondary with injuries in the preseason. Overall, defensively, how much better do you think the Bears are going to be this year?
No, quite a bit. You know, and there was a special the other day. I was talking about, you know, back when the defenses were good, and you had a bunch of good players inside. You know, it's like baseball. You got, if you're good up the middle, you know, shortstop, second, center. Well, same thing in football. We're so much better. Eddie Goldman will make a – it looks to me like he's going to become – you know, better than what we kind of anticipated. Akeem Nix is a difference maker, defensive end. We didn't have anybody like him. He's a man mountain. He will pay dividends, especially for the linebackers. You know, last night we were watching this kid from Carolina, Luke Kuechly, and he was making tackles everywhere. And you know, the NBC announcers, oh boy, he's amazing. Well, there were no offensive linemen to block him. The Carolina defensive linemen were getting all the attention, and the linebackers were running. It was something that every defense is kind of designed to operate in that fashion. But you got to have good defensive linemen. You got to make them realize, hey, we got to block the defensive line first, or we have no chance. Well, those are a couple of guys that will give us the you know, that type of ability with our linebackers. But that's the inside linebackers are where the huge upgrade is. And we all know, you know, my feelings about who they had playing inside linebacker last year. Well, the fact that they went out and the first thing that Pace did was sign two competent, very, very good inside linebackers, changed the complexion of the defense. And I'm, of course, talking about Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman. Those two guys, they, you know, and again, here in Chicago, we've had a legacy of great inside linebacker play. Well, they're going to finally continue it instead of it being a, you know, a kind of a running gag at middle linebacker and the inside linebacker. We're going to have some guys that can get after folks, and all I can tell you is I'm extremely excited about seeing how well they play. You know, Willie Young is back fresh and a year removed from his injury. Same thing with Lamar Houston. McPhee, we know he's on the PUP list, but the Leonard Floyd, the first round pick, he is flashed. So there's a lot of reasons to think this defense that was ranked 14th in the league last year. Think about that, folks. Yeah, I mean, it was a no-name defense. Well, they've got a lot better players. They should become a lot better defense.
Vic Fangio, a little bit critical of Floyd, I mean, and partly attributing it to the fact he's dealt with some injuries and illness during training camp. I think the term he used was choppy so far to describe what Leonard Floyd's preseason has been like. How quickly can he recover from a choppy preseason to have a legitimate impact on this defense?
Well, and you know, the whole thought of, you know, defensive ends, those are supposed to be the flamethrowers that you, hey, those are tough guys. Well, Leonard Floyd is a little different case. He's a soft-spoken kid, and I think what Vic's trying to do is say, okay, well, you know, you're in the NFL. You're playing against men. You got to toughen up. You can't miss practices because you don't feel good. You got to get out there. And all I can tell you is, after you put him in a third and long, and he makes a couple of plays, he'll get a taste of it. There'll be blood in the water. He'll be okay. And like I said, you know, a lot of people said, is this the next John Theory? I don't think so. This kid, he has great awareness. He's around the football whenever he's in there. Now, is he, you know, the second coming of Aldon Smith, the pass rusher that Vic Fangio had out in San Francisco? Not yet, but he's got a chance to be a difference maker.
The Texans have Brock Osweiler at quarterback, and, yep, he was on a Super Bowl winning team, but we haven't seen that much of him in an NFL uniform. And if you look at the line for this game, Texans, the last time I looked, were 6.5-point favorites. That's a lot of points.
Well, and the line, again, is based on – now, think about this. For all the smart folks out there, the opening line in last night's game was Denver -1, and then it swung to Carolina -3. Everybody in the world, oh, Carolina's going to go in there and mop them up. They've got somebody named Trevor Siemian at quarterback. Well, it didn't work out that way. The original line was correct. So a lot of time, you know, the folks, they don't know what's going on. So I'm not worried about that line. I am worried about getting pressure on Brock Osweiler. Last year when he came to town, he got his very first start against the Bears defense.
Right.
We sacked him 5 times. He really made one big play, and that was to Demaryius Thomas on a 48-yard crosser that he, you know, ran for a touchdown on, and that was really the backbreaker difference in the game. We should have beat him. We opted to go for a 4th and 6 on the goal line instead of kicking the field goal. We wind up losing by 2. I'm not scared of Brock Osweiler. I think we're a lot better prepared this year than we were last year, and you know, I know they got a great kid down there in Hopkins, Wes Hopkins, the outside receiver. Mr. Cat, you said the defensive corners were all beat up.
Well, they're getting healthier.
No, by the day. And, yeah, you know, we'll have Jacoby Clinn back at the nickel. Callahan at the nickel. And then we've got a lot better depth than we did a year ago. So, for whatever reason, this game reminds me of about 5 years ago. Remember, we went down to Indianapolis to play the mighty Peyton Manning on the opening game of the season, and we were about a 6-7-point underdog, and the Bears won. So, you know, I've got a great feeling about it. And again, I'm not willing to write this year off yet. I just know that if a lot of people make up their mind, a lot of good things can happen. And you can't wait and do it, you know, in October. You got to start it in September, so it'll be interesting.
Got to happen now.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? We were horrible at home. We're not at home. We're on the road. Let's try to keep that favorable record on the road alive. You know, we beat San Diego. We beat Kansas City. We beat a number of really good teams last year on the road. So it's a doable thing.
Sam, give my best to your wife, too. She's awesome. We're still going to take some money from you and Cochran when we get you guys on the golf course this fall.
You know, I stay up at night waiting for that opportunity.
She's awesome. She hit straight down the fairway 200 yards.
Yeah, she's great. She's great. I don't know why she married him. All right.
Thanks a lot.
What? Did I say that out loud? All right, let's go to the predictions. Dave Edit.
Well, first of all, let me say the Bears are going to win next week. I've got them being close this week. Houston 24, Bears 20.
It's going to rain maybe in Houston on Saturday. It's week one in the NFL. Anything can happen. Bears 10, Houston 9.
Wow. Yeah, Houston, we have a problem. 21-20, same scores last night. The Bears go in, and we don't use the new Pokemon kicker at all. We score three touchdowns.
Pokemon sit. It's not even Pokemon go. Hamp, you're great. Thanks, buddy. It's Dan Hampton, and it's from Chevy Drive, Chicago. .com. Coming back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself.
So Dr. Jill Stein is in town. She's the Green Party candidate for president, running about 2 or 3%.
Two.
And it's not a big deal at 2 or 3%, but it's 2 or 3% that Trump or Hillary would like to have. At any rate, she's on Channel 9 this morning. And they tried to originally offer her to the show, but then pulled the offer. And I'm not exactly on pins and needles waiting to hear what Dr. Jill Stein has to say, but she's certainly welcome here. And at last word, Sandberg had spoke to their people about the appearance, and Dr. Jill Stein was uncomfortable getting on the phone and talking to us, even though she was apparently in makeup at Channel 9 at 6:45 this morning. She just got on the air at 8:10 or 8 o'clock or so. So I'm going to go wet on a limb, and I'm going to assume that the Dr. Jill Stein Green Party people didn't want her to do the radio hit. There's a lot of that that goes on. These idiots in politics think that because there's a television camera there, that that's where the candidate has to be. We had that problem with Rauner initially, and they got the message.
That's right.
They figured it out.
That's right.
This is the largest radio audience in Chicago for everything that matters to a grown-up by far. And we appreciate your love and your support, and coming over to mow your lawn this weekend.
Yeah.
Just to show you how much it means to me.
Good.
But Dr. Jill Stein was invited. She will not be appearing. Her choice, makeup. 8:13, Andrea is filling in for Dean. What do you got?
Well, I know it's news that you guys were waiting to hear if they're okay. Well, it was a national nightmare.
What happened?
For Kendall and Kylie Jenner.
Oh.
They were, they were trapped in an elevator.
They're actually stuck in an elevator in real life. Like, I've never thought this would actually happen. I'm genuinely so terrified and hungry.
Yeah, they're so terrified and hungry. She's so terrified and hungry.
So terrified they took time to video.
Yeah. You know, we were, you know, talk about trying to get Jill Stein. We were trying to get Kendall and Kylie to come in today. I don't think they've made time for us.
Kendall and Kylie are polling much higher than Jill Stein.
But they say that they had two of their BFFs with them for company. They were in the elevator. So they did what people would do while they're stuck in an elevator when you're 19 and 20 years old. They rationed a granola bar. Now, keep in mind,
selfies, I'm sure.
They rationed a granola bar, and they Snapchatted with their friends.
How cute.
And I know you're all
wondering, how long were they stuck in the elevator?
Any guesses? Want to hazard a guess? Now, think about it. You had to ration a granola
six
bar.
Weeks.
Yeah.
Ten 6 minutes. 6 weeks.
I was just at the GoFundMe page for this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's amazing. I hope they pull through.
Devastating. Yeah. It was a 20-minute ordeal.
Good God, and they lasted on one granola bar?
And they're fine. They're so tired
wow.
and hungry.
Couldn't they have left them in there a little longer?
Yeah, it's a good point. I think we should strand all Kardashians in elevators all over America.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's on to some better news. Lady Gaga has a new song out. Stuck in the middle zone. I just pretty good, huh? Yeah. Perfect Illusion is the song that's out today. I like Gaga. She's great, isn't she?
Well, I wanted to hear more.
Oh, you want to hear a little more, lady?
Okay, that's enough.
Okay, good. Patrick Dempsey, former star of Grey's Anatomy, is speaking out now that his character McDreamy was killed off so suddenly last season. Now he's saying it was a mutual decision between he and Shonda Rhimes.
Oh, God. You know, I'm trying to think of anything I care less about. And it's the elevator story.
Yeah. I was going to say, you picked two of them.
He also says he worked on his marriage and is getting back together with his wife, Jillian, a makeup artist.
Oh, good.
Yes.
That's nice. Now, I will say this, that I also heard Patrick Dempsey said he left the show too, or he stayed on the show too long.
Yeah.
He should have left earlier.
He did. That show was so jumped the shark anyway. He said, though, they went through couples counseling. He said, you have to communicate, you have to stay open and not get lazy, not give up, and have lots of sex.
You know what we don't need? I don't care if you're McDreamy or not. You know what we don't need? We don't need 50-year-olds talking about how much sex they're having.
True that.
Because if you're 50, if you're 50 and you're having sex, just have sex and high-five yourself.
You know, I just saw him in a movie.
Actually, those could be the same thing.
Give yourself a pat on the back without hurting your arm.
I just saw him in a movie with Molly Ringwald.
Oh.
Where they were songwriters. It was horrible.
I found that hard to believe.
Yeah.
Patrick Dempsey and Molly Ringwald as songwriters.
Circa 1983.
Yeah, something like, yeah, it was a little later, but still, it was horrible.
Amanda Knox, who actually your friend Laura Caldwell is trying to get on the program, hopefully, fingers crossed, later this month, a new documentary, very moving, very powerful, the Amanda Knox documentary.
Did she cooperate in it?
She did. She actually gives kind of like a foreword to it, and then she does some interviews after it, too. So that premieres on September 30th. The trailer is out now today. And finally, there could be another baby on the way for Duchess Kate and Prince William.
Good God, William, get a hobby.
They said
leave
they
her
want,
alone for
they
10 minutes.
Said they want a third baby, and they want to be pregnant by Christmas. George is three.
Well,
Charlotte,
they had two. Do they not know how it works?
Well, they're trying, I think. George is three. Charlotte is 16 months old.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, honestly, Kate needs royal protection. Yeah, she needs some of the palace guards to keep Wills away from her.
All right, no. Wills, Will, all right.
And a little Willy, Willy won't.
Oh, no.
Holy cow.
So Kendall and Kylie Jenner are okay after their 20-minute ordeal.
Thank God.
That is your showbiz news. In for Dean Richards, I'm Andrea.
The next Steve Cochran stand-up show will be at Governor State University. So what should you do? Go online or you can call too. This way you all avoid the longest lines.
That's it. That's just
it's pretty well done.
Yeah, we just got
pretty well done. That's Christopher.
That's Christopher. I wrote it, but he recorded it. So.
How about that?
He's got a great voice. The
Christopher DeCuss. The next stand-up show, and I'm excited about this one because
I'm very excited about.
You get
this
Rocky
one.
Laporte and Pat McGann and John DeCuss on the same stage, and me as their valet, and you're going to have a fine time.
So wait a minute, You're just going to valet?
I'm just going to valet, yeah. Yeah, valet park for the
Well,
people.
I've been telling everybody you were going to do
All right, I'll do stand-up.
Okay, please.
It's fine. Saturday night, September 24th at Governor State University in a very cool theater there.
Beautiful theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good people out there. It's been a long time since we've been there, too.
I was there in the early 2000s, and I think, didn't we do a show there maybe
we did.
10 years ago?
That's about right. Yeah, that's about right.
And back now, John had one of my. it is if you're driving from the northern burbs, it's a long drive, but it is worth the effort. But for everybody on the south side and the southern burbs, you go, you never come out this way. Well, here you go.
Those are my people that kept saying, hey, come on out to the south suburbs. And you guys are.
Governor State's not that far.
John was actually coming from a show in Wisconsin the first time we were there.
Oh, yeah.
So he was back to back. And he came in and he went on stage and he said, hey, I'm not sure exactly where we are, but can you see the equator from here?
Oh, it's that funny.
Because it's south. South, baby.
And then we could see the equator.
Which is the weird part. It was in the parking lot.
Yes.
Yeah, the equator was actually the perimeter of the parking lot.
There's a whole other world south of I-80.
Absolutely.
South of Roosevelt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's hometown for you.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I could be there to see you guys.
What?
I'll be in Greece. Can you do the show, and then when I come back, just meet me at O'Hare a few days later and just do the show for me at O'Hare?
Yeah, why not? Sure. That sounds reasonable.
Part's easy.
I'll have the sign up that says Andrea.
Yeah.
Tickets available how?
You can go to, go online to centerticket.net.
Okay, centerticket.net.
Centerticket.net, or you can call the box office directly at 708-235-2222. 2222.
708-225-2222?
Yes.
All right, great. Yeah.
But it's a lot. I'm really looking forward to this. Rocky Laporte and Pat are phenomenal. So
yeah. Well, you're phenomenal, and I'm fine. It's Saturday night, September 24th. I promise I'll be funny if you come out. Saturday, September 24th, and it's going to be a great show. What time are we starting at?
7:30? 7 o'clock? That's a good question.
Oh, you're producer.
I don't know. I'm just the valet that night.
No, that's me.
Oh.
So plan on 7.
7. It's, yeah, it's 7 o'clock.
15.
It's a 7.
No, plan on a 7 o'clock
yeah,
show.
7 o'clock. It is yeah, 7. Sorry about that.
Maybe tell people earlier that way that they're not late.
7 o'clock.
All right, perfect.
Yeah. Well, and as always, it's a nice man production.
We tell Steve it's at 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Probably not a bad idea. Thank you, Jeff, for that.
No.
No? Okay, well, all right, then no thank you. Hey, Sandberg, come in here for a second. Mary Sandberg, producer of the program. I have a question for her as well. The texters have chimed in on Dr. Jill Stein turning down an offer to do the show. 708, Dr. Jill Stein was considering going on the Steve Cochran show, but Ronda Rousey was booked in her place. Remember how bad Ronda Rousey was when she was on?
Was she who yawned?
She was sleepy.
She yawned in her own interview, and I said, am I keeping you up, plugging your own book? And 312 texter said, you know, I'd rather you interview Dr. Pepper. So, Sandberg, have we heard from the mayor of Aleppo, Gary Johnson?
We have not.
Okay. So Gary Johnson and William Weld, even after yesterday, aren't seeking to rehab their image.
They are not.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure we felt when they were in studio, though, that Weld really thinks that he should be the headliner on that ticket.
Yeah, I think that's probably true, because after Gary Johnson was on MSNBC yesterday and said, what is Aleppo? As if we were in a Jeopardy episode, I'm guessing the call to William Weld was probably one of the tougher calls.
So, but you can't flip at this point, right?
I think you can do whatever you want. I think at this point, based on the state of the campaign, we're too bogged down in rules. I think we should just make stuff up as we go along, as long as we make it up before November 8th.
Okay.
But Johnson and Weld are still welcome here.
Yeah, they should be doing, what do you call that, crisis management?
Oh, big time.
Right now?
Yeah, and the other thing that I don't understand, if I had 2%, or in Johnson's case, 8 or 9%, and you know I like Johnson
yep.
and Weld, I would take interviews from everybody. Cub Scouts on the street, mm-hmm. You know, who have a newsletter they need to fill. Any way to get my name out, any possible way.
Maybe had he done more interviews, he would have been more prepared for the question.
Yeah.
It was very
Aleppo?
Miss America-ish. That Justin Kaufman that's on at night, he did a funny takeout on that.
He did.
It's on WGN Radio.
And it's literally called The Takeout.
Yeah. So.
Speaking of funny, Stephen Colbert has some thoughts on Gary Johnson. Roll it.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About?
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
You're kidding.
No.
Aleppo is in Syria. It's the epicenter of the refugee crisis.
Okay, got it. Got it.
Okay. Got it. Aleppo. I thought you said a leopard. I was like, what would I do about a leopard? Probably run away from it. Yeah. But let's talk about this Syrian town of Aleppo. Obviously, that's where they make the dog food. Next question, please. That is embarrassing. I haven't seen someone go blank like that since I was asked, who is Gary Johnson? Now, I'm starting. I've interviewed him 4 times. Seriously, who is Gary Johnson?
No, he had it coming. He had it coming. 8:29. Back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Nobody is going to bring jobs back like Donald Trump. I will be the greatest jobs producing president that God ever created. And I say that with my pastors in the front row. With my pastors.
Give it up for my pastors. Where are my pastors at? Pastors in the hizzy. Oh, Donald Trump. God bless you. I actually mean that. Let me give you some more of the Trumpster. You know, he was always against, this is cut six, by the way, always against the Iraq War. Did you know that about Donald Trump? Always, completely. Now, in 2002, he actually said to Howard Stern, yeah, I guess we should go on to Iraq. Yeah, we should probably do that. But that doesn't count. Here's Trump explaining.
But I was opposed to the war from the beginning, long after my interview with Howard Stern. But 3 months before the Iraq war started, I said at an interview with Neil Cavuto that perhaps we shouldn't be doing it yet. And that the economy, these are quotes, that the economy, this was on live television, the economy is a much bigger problem as far as the president is concerned. This was before the war started. So I just wanted to set the record straight. There is so much lying going on. And Hillary Clinton lied last night about numerous things, including her email, but she also lied about this. Had I been in Congress at the time of the invasion, I would have cast a vote in opposition.
The stunning thing about Trump and Hillary is when they lie, they really talk themselves into it. Like, I think if you could literally hold up Hillary's lies in front of her and Trump's lies in front of him, as we do, and they would go, oh, who are you going to believe, your facts or me?
Are you for invading Iraq?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I wish it was, I wish the first time it was done correctly.
Trump believes, by the way, that Obama is a U.S. citizen. He's dropped the whole birther thing. Now, he won't talk about it, but you know who will talk about it is Rudy Giuliani. But as you listen to this clip from MSNBC and the Hardball Show, tell me who's more annoying, Matthews or Giuliani?
A couple of his people, including his vice presidential running mate, Mike Pence, the governor of Indiana, and of course, Dr. Ben Carson, have both come out in the last days, hours practically, and said they believe that President Obama is a legitimately elected president of the United States. In other words, he was born in the United States. Do you confirm that? Do you agree with that?
I confirm that, and Donald Trump now confirms that. You know, Hillary Clinton.
When did he do
campaign,
that? When did he
Hillary,
do that?
He did that.
When did he do that?
2 years ago. 2 years ago. 3 years ago.
When did he? He has now accepted that birtherism was nonsense.
Look. Hillary
when
Clinton's
did he do
campaign,
that?
Chris, Hillary Clinton's campaign.
He did
campaign,
not do that yet. I am waiting
Hillary,
for him to do it.
Hillary Clinton's campaign was the first one to bring up the fact that there was a question.
Where did they do that? Where did they do that?
Donald Trump has said that.
Give me the example
three, four,
when they did that. You just
ago.
Said that Hillary Clinton accused the president. Has Hillary Clinton ever accused the president of being foreign born?
Her
ever?
Campaign. Her campaign did during
her,
the primary.
Her campaign.
Where,
Hillary Clinton's campaign
up.
Did this.
Yes, okay.
No,
well, you're
didn't. There's no evidence
for
the Hillary campaign.
I was always responsible for
I want to know whether
campaign.
You believe that your candidate for president believes he would succeed
yes.
a legitimate president or not.
He believes,
does he believe he would succeed a legitimate president?
Donald Trump believes now that he was born in the United States.
He doesn't. No, he doesn't. There's so many sharks jumping Rudy Giuliani right now, it's like Sharknado 5. And Chris Matthews, you know, every time I hear Chris Matthews, I just want to punch him in the face. And is that what you want? Is that number one for a television host?
Why yell? Why the yelling? Just stop yelling. Everybody. That's just him.
Dana Bash sat down with Mike Pence. By the way, Mike Pence, if somebody can find the ring on Mike Pence with a string where you pull it and he says exactly what he's been programmed to say, that would be swell. Mike Pence, the vice presidential running mate for Trump. Where do you hear what he has to say about... Donald Trump, and I love CNN, Dana Bash, hardened reporter Dana Bash. Listen to her reaction.
You know, you talk about him being humble. I know that on the campaign trail, you talk about that as well, and you do it as you compare him to Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. I think even Donald Trump would say that there are a lot of things that you can say about him. Humble is probably not one of them.
Well, I would tell you, both men were very broad-shouldered leaders.
Yes.
I mean, both men had been successful not only
but humble?
In public
the guy who
life,
has his name on every building that
but
he
but also in entertainment. Well, Ronald Reagan had his name on a lot of marquees. But I think at their very core, both men are the kind of leaders that have a core of humility.
If Ronald Reagan could come back and become a zombie and kill all of them, he would tonight.
Ronald Reagan, to my knowledge, did not put his name all over buildings, did he?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the Reagan building. Don't I think remember. We all know the Reagan buildings.
Yeah, of course.
That whole empire of Reagan buildings. Reagan jets. Remember Reagan University? Oh, I wish he'd pay the people back he ripped off.
Didn't he get his name in The Exorcist?
He did. Little Reagan,
Little Reagan?
From The Exorcist.
No.
Unbelievable. You know, it's a good point. In my headphones, Jake just pointed out, if you drive into Dixon, there is that huge, obnoxious sign that says home of Ronald Reagan.
Oh, yeah, the boyhood home.
True. Egomaniac.
Yeah.
Trump would have renamed Dixon. It would have been Trumpson.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Showing off to the people walking down Michigan Avenue now. Let me shake it in the window here a little bit.
Yeah.
Don't hurt yourself.
Look out. The good thing about my hip is when I pop it out, it pops right back into place. 852, former governor of Texas, presidential candidate. Rick Perry apparently bumped his head on the ranch and he agreed to do Dancing with the Stars. Good morning, Governor.
Well, now I know how to do it. You just gave me the visual of how you're supposed to get out there and shake it. So
come on,
I'm
man.
Doing my cha-cha now. I think I just saw you, Cochran, kind of give it that double hip hit.
Shake it. Shake that moneymaker, Governor.
Hey, 2 weeks ago, I didn't know the difference between the word tango and cha-cha. And now I'm doing one. Holy mackerel, what was I thinking?
Well, here's the thing. I'm curious, when you went to the women in your life, the women in your life of all ages who have asked you to dance through the years, and you've probably at various times said no, and you said, well, they made me this offer, what do you think? What did the women in your life say?
Well, it's an interesting story. 6 weeks ago, they came to me, and now you got to remember, I don't dance. I don't like to dance. In the last 15 years, I've danced four times in public. Each of my inaugurals, it's required for the governor to dance with his wife for the first dance of the inaugural ball.
Right.
And I got up on stage, and for some short period of time, I did a semblance of a waltz and then got the hell off the dance stage because it's obvious I can't dance.
Right.
And my wife, you know, God bless her, she loves to dance, and she ended up with me. So she's long-suffering. So when we got approached, I automatically said, no, that's out of my silo of interest. I don't dance. I don't know how to dance. No, thank you. And then I said, you know what? This is an extraordinary population of people that watch this. I mean, this is a huge amount of people that I'm never going to have the opportunity, most likely, to be in front of and talk to about the thing I'm really passionate about in life, and that's our veterans. So I said, you know what? I'm willing to go out there and fall on my face, or some other body part for that matter, to be able to talk about the veterans, to bring their issues to the forefront, to talk about it where people understand what's happened.
Well, good for
today.
You.
They're coming home with post-traumatic stress, TBI, all of these. I mean, we got 25 or 30 of these kids killing themselves a day.
Every day.
And Scott, that's just not right, bro. And we got to do something about it. And so I said, you know what? It is worth it for me to go through the training and what have you. And this is the hardest thing I've done since pilot training back in 1972, 73. It is tough, man. I'm telling you, learning how to dance technically is not unlike flying an airplane. I mean, you got to use all four of your extremities. It's time and space.
Well, how sore are you now? I mean, you get up in the morning, you're an athlete, you get up in the morning and you have those good soreness where, you know, you feel some muscle aches that you haven't felt before. But what are you feeling now? You achy all over?
I was for the first week. I've done this now. I think there's been 10 sessions. The first week, I was pretty sure they were trying to kill me. I decided, you know, this is a plot to get rid of me. But I kind of worked my way through it. I'm in pretty good shape. I tried to keep my core. You know, I had back surgery, major back surgery, 5 years ago.
Okay.
And so everybody was kind of like, oh, dude, you can't do this because of your back. And it's not my back that's bothering me. It is muscles in places that I didn't even know I had muscles. I mean,
well, listen, God bless you. I mean, I'm like you. I think if you have a chance and a platform, we certainly do it here to promote veterans' causes and stop this scourge of veteran suicides and make sure that veterans are taken care of and not to forget families and make sure the families that sacrifice while the loved ones of theirs are serving overseas. I mean, that's great. I mean, you go out in week one or week 10 or you win the whole thing. It's great. So I salute you for doing it.
Well, we're going to go work hard and try to stay on. Hell, I'm not doing it for anything other than to win that mirror ball.
There you go, baby.
That's it. And to be able, you know, we're going to have veterans there. I mean, half of my tickets that I get or more are going to be, they're going to be veterans sitting there rooting me on. And it's going to be about, because they know I'm going to be promoting their cause. I'm going to be telling their stories. We're going to have a website called Advance the Colors that you can go to. And you're going to hear just some extraordinary stories of service and sacrifice of parents that lost children. These great and sacrificial men and women who we owe so much to. And, you know, the freedoms that we enjoy every day, they didn't come for free.
That's right.
And we still owe for it. And I want people to be really upset when they find out that our federal government's not doing the things that we promised we'd do for these vets. And so, anyway, I hope folks will not only watch the show and vote for Team Dance for Our Vets. That's what Emma Slater and I decided we were going to name our team, Team Dance for Our
Vets. Dance for Our Vets. That's a great name.
And you can vote. I mean, this is like South Texas and Chicago politics. You can vote 12 times.
Doesn't matter what Texas district you're in or what aldermanic district you're in here. Hey, before you go, I don't care to talk to you about Trump or Hillary, but I do have a question for you about Johnson, because you had your 2 out of 3 moment, and after the mayor of Aleppo messed up yesterday, a lot of people are shoving him out. Should he be shoved out, or should he be, or is he, you know, he said, I'm a human being, and give me another chance. Where are you on this?
Yeah, well, here's my deal. Look, Donald Trump wasn't my first choice. I was my first choice.
Right.
But, you know, I believe in the process. I'm a Republican. I'm for Donald Trump, and I'm going to be doing everything I can to help him. I know Gary. And Gary,
well, then dance more.
Really good guy. But listen, you know, we all have, lapses of memory. Hell, I had it in front of 4.5 million people once. So,
right.
But the redemption's a great thing, and I'm all about giving people
a second chance. Fair enough. I know you got to run, and God bless you, man. Stay healthy, and get out there and shake it. And thanks for being on the Steve Cochran Show.
Hey, Steve. Thank you, brother. Godspeed.
Right. All the best. It's Governor Rick Perry. I salute what he's trying to do.
Absolutely.
It's great.
Yeah. It's
everything
painful.
Right up to the point where he said he supported Trump, and everything after. I mean, I'm with him.
That's right, Scott.
Did he call me Scott?
I thought so.
I don't care what he calls me. It's fine.
Who has him in the poll?
The mayor of Aleppo. Is the mayor of Aleppo on the phone?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Yes, a little change of pace. Earlier this morning, as we do every Friday morning, prior to our Northwestern football game, we had Coach Fitz on. He thought it would only be fair to present the other side of the equation with another friend of ours, the head coach of the Illinois State football team. But before we get the coach back, joining us in studio from the Rokon Show is Rokon Lackey and part-time intern. No, it's Rokon sports guru and our baseball expert, Kevin Powell. Hello, buddy.
What's going on? It's good to see
nice
you guys.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, it's good to be in studio.
Thanks for coming in. Did you enjoy traffic?
Oh, it was wonderful. I don't know how people do that every morning. I really don't.
Well, when you have to get up at the crack of noon so you could be in here for a 2 o'clock pre-show meeting with Ro, which probably starts about, what, 2:45?
Yeah, 2:45, 2:55.
And then, I mean, you're on from 3 till 7. You probably can't get to Wrigley till 7:15 where you can eat free food for the media and watch the Cubs play.
It really is a brutal life.
It's like coal mining.
I miss those 2:30 a.m. Wake-up calls. That's about the time of going to bed nowadays. I used to wake up.
I'll bet, and you suck. Illinois State Northwestern tomorrow. Before we get to Coach Speck, I believe the continued success of the Illinois State program is due to one person, me.
Yes.
Because the last time the coach was on, I promised him sandwiches galore if he would agree to a new deal and stay.
And guess what happened?
He agreed to a new deal and he stayed.
And you had to pay up your bet, a $500 gift card to Avanti's. So I know they're eating plenty of gondolas down there, and Coach is feeding the team.
I think $500 in gondolas is the coach and two linemen in one meal.
Did you really pay up? Did you send them
sandwiches?
Of course
I paid up. Absolutely paid up. Let's go to Coach Speck now and see if he's eating. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Steve, how are you? And yes, we did enjoy those Avanti sub sandwiches. They're awesome.
So can we agree that the main reason you stayed with the program is me?
I'd like to agree to that, but I don't think so. It's a great place to work. We got people like Kevin Powell who are just nuts about ISU football. It's great to work for people like that.
Yeah, and Kevin loves the program, loves the team, loves you guys, and you should be very proud of what you built there, man.
Well, I'm very proud of our players, and our staff has kind of stuck together for most of the tenure here, and a lot of people worked hard to get the program where it is, but most importantly, it's about the players. The players have done a great job.
Let me get Kevin in here because he wanted to ask you 47 questions. We're going to try to limit it to a handful here.
I do, but Coach, you're right. The Redbird Nation is giddy about the football program. You've turned it into somewhat of a powerhouse. Is it fair to say the expectations now have become for your program not only a conference title, but deep playoff runs and national title hopes every year?
Well, yeah, I think, Kevin, that's kind of where you're at. We made a run to the national championship game, obviously, a couple of years ago, and we've been in the playoffs several times, and we seem to get to the quarterfinals at least. But I think that's the expectations. But nobody has higher expectations on us than us. You know, our players and coaches, you know, we have very, very high expectations each and every year. And I know there's a lot of things you have to overcome. You know, kids graduate and move on with their lives. They go play pro football. They go work. And, you know, we lost a couple guys on both sides of the ball last year, are very good players. But that's just the beast we're involved with. And we just, you know, we expect the next man in to be as good or better. So that's kind of where we're at.
Well, I'll let Kevin in here in a second. Kevin will determine if sports director and his boss, Dave Ennett, gets to ask a question.
That's how it works, huh?
Okay. But Coach,
you're the boss, Steve, of this program.
Yeah, well, but I enjoy the interplay. Coach, you know, you're going up against Northwestern tomorrow. Fitz was a terrific player. You were a terrific player. To me, this got to be nothing but fun for you because the competition, it's got to feel like game day for you. You guys probably want to put the pads on.
Yeah, well, you know, Fitz and I are very good friends. You know, we became friends when I'm a lot older than he is, but we were both assistants. I was at Purdue, he was at Northwestern. We recruited North Florida together, and we would bump into each other now and then when he was a young guy as an assistant at Northwestern, and was very, very impressed with him, knew he was on a skyrocketing to the top in our profession. He's a star in our profession, and he's done a great job there. I've been very and Mike Hankowitz is a defensive coordinator there at Northwestern. Coach Hank was our outside linebacker coach in my first 2 years at Purdue, and you know, he played at Michigan, was a defensive coordinator for the Wrecking Crew at Texas A&M, and then also was a coordinator on the defense that won the national championship at Colorado. So great coach, know a couple other guys in our staff very well, and just great football program, and it's a great opportunity for our players. We have a lot of kids from the Chicago area, and they look forward to coming up and playing.
Coach, Kevin is allowing me to ask you one question. I'd like to ask you about your freshman running back, James Robinson. Over 9,000 yards, the all-time leading rusher in Illinois high school history. And that's no fluke, those numbers, are they?
No, James is very, very good. You know, at this time last year, he had an offer to Iowa. They filled up, and you know, unfortunately, we offered him. I think he came to his camp in between his freshman and sophomore year. So that's summer before his sophomore year in high school, he came to our football camp, and we offered him then. And I said, well, we're not going to be able to hang on to this guy. And fortunately for us, he's a year ahead in school, so it took him a while, a little mature, and took him a while to figure it out. But he's a very good, you know, he's a smart kid, and he worked hard, and he got himself right academically, and now is doing very well here. He's a very gifted player. I'm curious to see how he develops throughout the season because I think he has a lot of gifts, and those numbers aren't a fluke because he is very, very talented.
Coach, I think it's 9 starters returning on offense. The 2 missing, Trey Roberson and Marshawn Coppridge. A ton of production there. Coppridge, All-American, 1,900 yards on the ground. So can we expect to see a running back by committee situation tomorrow and throughout the season? And also replacing Trey Roberson, Jake Colby, what did you see out of him week 1? And were you pleased with what you saw?
Yeah, your first question is, you know, absolutely we are – we are going to be a running back by committee. We have, you know, 4 or 5 guys. I think we have 6 guys touched the ball on last week. We got 4 or 5 guys I think are very, very capable. You know, all 6 guys are capable, but one of the guys that touched the ball was a fullback, so I guess, you know, he says he's not a tailback. But we'll do it more by committee. We lost only 2 guys, but those 2 guys accounted for almost 5,000 yards of offense. So very good players, and so the running back will be by committee. Jay Colby did a nice job. He made a mistake late in the first half and threw a pick 6. But after that, I think he really did a good job of throwing the football on time and on target, and was very, very much sharper in the second half. and we expect that. You know, Jake's still a young player. He hasn't had a ton of experience in a starting role yet. He's only a sophomore from Naperville Central. He's done a great job. He's a great kid. He's a hard worker, but he's going to make mistakes, and we just got to. You know, we got to put him back on the horse if he falls off and get him back out there. And he did that last Saturday night. So those are expected, and we just hope that, you know, he continues to develop.
The win tomorrow will be huge, obviously, but any crack against the Big Ten's got to be great for the program, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've been in the locker room on the other side of this game, and it can be a little nerve-wracking sometimes, and I get it. But yeah, anytime you can, I like to see our guys go in there with a great attitude and with a winning attitude and with the idea that we're going to play our butt off and we'll live with the results, you know, good or bad. So, you know, I think we can, I just want to see us play really well and compete and be a team that's a championship caliber team, you know, in FCS. So we'll see.
Kevin gets the last question for Coach Brock Spack at Illinois State.
Well, Coach, one of your running backs, Nick Kielbasa, where does that rank in all-time great college football names?
Yeah, I call him the Polish sausage. Nick's a great kid. He's a hard worker. He's from up there in the north, out in the northwest suburbs, out in the boonies, and he's a great kid. And he's worked really hard. He's a walk-on player here. He's very tough, and he was a guy that's kind of a crossover to a fullback as well. Nick isn't a giant guy. He's just really, really tough. And he's really worked his way into being a really good college player and really like him a lot.
Is it spelled the same, Kielbasa?
Yeah. Correct.
Does he
Coach?
Smell like sausage in the locker room, Coach? I mean, is it scary?
Snacking on pierogies?
No, he's a good kid. He laughs about it. But, yeah, he's a I just think we all have little nicknames for our players, you know, and it's kind of fun. If you don't have a nickname, you probably don't feel the love. So everybody has a nickname.
Well, what would my nickname be? You know, the last name Cochran, Coach.
I
never
can't
mind.
Say it on the air.
Yeah, never mind, Coach. Never mind. Appreciate it. Hey, good luck tomorrow. It's going to be great fun watching you guys go up against Northwestern. Northwestern's got to have a win. You guys are rolling off Valpo and headed for a fun year.
Well, thank you, and it's going to be a special day for us both, Coach Fitz and myself. We're going to recognize Special Olympics in the pregame. Or you know, it's a big group for both of our programs, and we're going to have a little fun with that too. So,
and
thank you for having me on, I appreciate it.
You bet. And Dave Ennett, Coach, told me off the air during the break to call anytime, and he's sorry Kevin wouldn't let you ask more questions.
I appreciate that, Coach. And we're going to do something also on the radio tomorrow with Special Olympics as well.
Oh, good. So, yeah, pregame is when?
Pregame's 2:00.
2:00, Dave Ennett, Mr. Cat has the call. Thank you, Coach.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, man.
All right, hope you guys stay healthy. Thanks, Coach. He's really a good guy.
He's great. He's great. It's already 8 seasons now that he's been there, and it's flown by, but he has turned it into an FCS powerhouse. I think they're 8 or 9 in the national rankings. So.
9.
9, thanks. Yeah. I should know that.
Really. If you're going to bring it up, Cat better know.
Yeah. By the way, if he's willing to re-sign another deal with Illinois State, I will get him $500 worth of Prilosec. For the sandwiches that he ate.
He is awesome. Redbird Nation loves him, and they actually have a SPAC stash night coming up this season. He rocks
hey,
quite the stash.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they may
like
have
our
listening.
Q stash night,
correct.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, whatever. It's okay. Listen, steal from a good guy, you know. We're standing by, possibly getting the Attorney General Lisa Madigan here in a couple of minutes on 720 WGN. 9:25, Attorney General Lisa Madigan and Senator Dick Durbin about to do a press conference about the shutdown of for-profit ITT and the mess this creates for the families and the students and possible criminal aspects to this. Lisa Madigan joins us now. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good. Thanks for doing this. I know you only got a couple of minutes, but I think it's important for people to know, A, you're doing the press conference, and B, what the update is. So this is part of a private for-profit network of schools around the country. What do we know about ITT?
Well, here in Illinois, ITT has 4 campuses, 3 in the Chicagoland area, 1 in Springfield. There are approximately 800 students in Illinois that are enrolled, but they are one of, unfortunately, you know, a growing number of the for-profit, really predatory for-profit schools that have been poorly accredited, very expensive, enrolled students with these promises that they were going to get a useful degree, they were going to get a high-paying job, but instead, people ended up, if they stayed through the program, with an enormous amount of debt and a virtually useless degree. So it's great that the feds have gone after them. We've been investigating ITT and others. This school should have been shut down a long time ago. I know that doesn't sound great for the students out there, but in the long run, this is a good thing for them. They should consider moving to a community college that offer virtually identical programs at a much lower cost and are fully accredited. And they also should be reaching out to the Department of Education and looking to have their federal student loans discharged under the school closure discharge provision.
Lisa, what relief will students have in the form of what if they already paid? And how about employers, teachers specifically, as far as their jobs?
Well, again, the first thing folks should do is, you know, make a decision about where you are in the process, right? If you're virtually done, again, you need to reach out to the federal government, find out about the closed school discharge. If you're also, you know, almost done, you can also look back and say, look, here's a school that the federal government was, in fact, investigating along with state attorneys general. Fraudulent practices were uncovered, and there's also some relief and when those situations occur. And students should look at the community colleges throughout Illinois if they are earlier in their program to see if that's a viable option to transfer to so they can continue their studies and end up with a fully accredited and useful degree. In terms of teachers, it's a little more difficult. Now, a lot of these schools end up contracting with teachers. They're usually not full-time staff. And so, again, community colleges provide pretty good options in terms of hiring those folks on if they're not already working at one.
Is there any validity to the lawsuits that have been filed by the employees saying that the school violated federal law by not giving them 60 days notice before they closed?
You know what? I haven't actually seen those, but usually when they're going to do massive closures, you know, there are certain provisions in employment law about how that's handled under the Warren Act. So I haven't looked at those lawsuits, but they may have a legitimate claim.
I know you got to go do the press conference. We always appreciate your time, so thanks for jumping on. And if people want to go to your website, you can update it there.
Yes, we've got information there. I would also send people initially to the Department of Education's website. Look up ITT. They do have information up. They also have a phone number. I don't know it off the top of my head.
Sure.
Where you can call and ask them questions about what they should do. But again, this is one of a growing number of for-profit institutions that was poorly accredited to start with, charged people way too much money, have left former students and current students in the lurch, both in terms of getting a good education and with an enormous amount of debt to pay off. So while I think this should have happened sooner, I'm glad it's happening now in some ways, and we're certainly willing to work with people and help them as they try to figure out what to do.
Always appreciate the access. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.
See ya. Thanks, Lisa. Lisa Madigan, the Attorney General. What a mess.
I know. And she's on her way to that press conference, too, right now. So that's great.
Which is great.
Yeah, talk to us.
Coming up on 9:30, Kevin Powell is here. Kevin is the former producer of this show and, of course, does sports for Roe and does a great job covering baseball for us all the time. Kevin, in honor of the young man playing for Illinois State, Mr. Kielbasa.
Yeah, Nick Kielbasa.
I did a quick Google search, and I have a list of some of the funniest names in sports history.
Okay.
Jim Bob Cooter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Coached Tennessee Volunteers at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these, by the way, I can't even say. Chubb Small.
Chubb Small?
Mm-hmm. Chubb Small. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with his career. Played apparently at Marshall. Fairhooker.
Fairhooker. Yeah. Okay.
And by the way, you want that.
Familiar with, yes, the Fairhooker.
No, that's the thing.
Yes, let's be specific.
How old are you guys? Yeah.
Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns. That's exactly right, Dave. Do you know where Harry Cohen played? What happens when Kevin
visits?
I
feel like I'm in a boys' locker room.
Yeah, well, we're just getting started.
Is it really his name, or are you making this up?
I'm not making this up at all. I'm not making this up at all.
Maybe it's Cologne, Steve. Maybe he's Hispanic.
He played for the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
What position was he?
Maybe it's Cologne.
He was an end.
Couldn't help yourself, could you? Could not help yourself. Famous Pittsburgh Pirates player, Dick Pohl. Do you remember Dick Pohl?
Yeah,
Pohl,
sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah. He's a pitching coach. Also,
is he?
He became one.
Yeah, I think that's true.
He's got a hardware store with Harry Cohen.
Yes, he does. Harry Cohen and Dick Pohl. That's exactly right. And a famous stock car driver, Dick Trickle.
Dick Trickle.
Dick Trickle. And yep. I've said this for years. Get to a clinic. And I've never heard of this guy, but was a striker for a team called the Scarborough Athletic, a soccer team. Mm-hmm. Dean Windass. Yeah, I'm not making it up. W-I-N-D-A-S-S.
I believe it. I'm not familiar.
Yeah. And if you're running, make sure you keep the wind at your
back.
Okay. Feel better?
9:32. We're trying to get – we got Lisa Madigan on, which is very nice of her. We will not have a Harry Colon on prior to 10 o'clock. However, Ro Khan's trying to book him top of the show. 9:32, big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:42, connecting with a guest here. So, Kevin Powell, this is a good opportunity for you to plug the Ro Khan Show. It's you and Ro Khan and Anna and Violetta Zibbity-Doo-Dah
and... And Violetta Podramatic, both of them, both the Violettas.
Uh-huh. And
Judy
and
Pilak.
Judy Pilak, right?
Yeah. Goodbye, girl.
3 to 7, and you guys have risen well into the top 10 in the afternoons now. So nice jump in the ratings.
It's good. We're having a lot of fun.
Yeah. So the ratings continue to go up in the afternoon. It's good. Do you take most of the credit for the increase in the ratings?
Well, of course.
Seem to have happened since you got there.
But your ratings have seemed to increase since I left, so I'm not sure what to make of all that.
I think they skyrocketed.
I think Ross Cochran... No. Ross Cochran put it best after Jake and Sandberg took over the show. He said, gee, since Kevin and I left, things really have turned around for you.
I think we may have been holding you guys back a bit. We apologize for that. It was fun, though, but yeah, the ratings are great.
Boy, your show, by the way, knows how to party. At the conventions, you know, I'm working, slaving away at the at the speeches. Ro, Anna, Jeff, they were still
hitting
the town at
the important
midnight.
Thing for Ro and Anna is to realize they have a problem and get help as soon as possible. Yeah.
Well, Fridays is when that Knarbel wagon rolls out around 5 o'clock. So.
Yeah. Well, you sound great, dude. You're doing a great job with baseball.
It's a blast. Very lucky.
Also, a little plug. I spend time at the law offices of Palometta Powell and Pilak.
Padromatic Powell and Pilak. Padromatic
Pilak.
Huh? Yeah.
The three P's.
We had a terrible business name. It's 9:44, and you know, in the midst of all sorts of trouble and strife in the world, a couple of good news stories before we get out of here at 10 o'clock. And have Bill and Wendy take over and send you into the weekend. We have a 9/11 thing I think you're going to like to hear here in a few minutes. But first, let me jump on the phone. Standing by and here to talk about a brand new documentary are Wes Moore and Robert Krishan. Robert, the director, and Wes as well on the phone. Let me see if I can get you guys both up here. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for doing this. It's the story of African-American men, young men, as their lives transition, young men turning their lives into something really good and coming out of tough neighborhoods where it could have gone the other way. So where and when are we going to see it?
So it's going to be airing on WTTW at 9 p.m. In Chicago. And we're really excited about the fact that the not only are the two stars Chicago natives, but also the director, Todd Lending, is also a Chicago native. But, you know, the thing we really wanted to profile is that, you know, while Robert and Krishan are both from the south side of Chicago, both from Englewood, these are universal American stories about what it means to not just make it through high school, but what it means to then try to persist within higher education and why that becomes so important.
Robert, let me ask you for in particular, you grew up in Englewood or you're growing up in Englewood?
I grew up in Englewood. I've been living in Englewood for 19 years, sir.
All right. So as you're growing up, you see some pretty tough stuff, I'm sure, right?
Yes, sir.
Lost some friends?
I lost a lot of friends to the streets.
This is the thing, and you know, I don't want to cut to the chase here, but I also do want to cut to the chase. I really want white folks to hear this, because I say that, I've said this a million times, 99.5% of people in the toughest neighborhoods in Chicago want the same thing you want in Naperville, in Lake Forest, and anywhere else around Chicago. You want your kids to have a better shot at things than you. You want your kids to grow up healthy and happy. So what's your key, Robert? How did you avoid trouble?
Well, first off, my key got to be, you know, it's got to be God. God gave me opportunity to wake up each day and to make something positive in my life. My second key was my loving grandmother, who took on the responsibility to raise me and my six other siblings, also on top of raising her own four sons and one household on the south side of Chicago. She made out numerous sacrifices.
Amen to that.
So in my mind, I owe it to my, you know, to myself to make something positive of my life, to go to high school, to graduate with 4 years, and go to college and graduate within 4 years as well.
So what are you doing with your life?
So right now I am tutoring in Colorado, and also I'm volunteering as well in Colorado at the fire station.
Do you get frustrated when you see the news reports? Or I'm sure you run into people in Colorado all the time. Oh, you're from Chicago. Ooh, I can't imagine growing up there. Does it frustrate you because you know the majority of people, the vast majority of people where you grew up are good people who are just trying to be healthy and happy?
Yeah, it's frustrating because, you know, they never lived in a situation like that. They always feel like, well, why don't your family or your grandmother just move? And I always look at them like, well, it's not that easy. Now, if you have a house or you can pay our bills, let me know. But it's really frustrating because good things can come from Inglewood. It is positive stories out
there. Amen.
But, you know, the mass media put it out like we just a negative city, a negative part of town of Chicago. So it is frustrating to hear things like that.
Yeah, and if you're a kid and you continue to be pounded with images, social media images or media images, that you're living in the Old West and all kids are doing is shooting at each other, where's your inspiration coming from? Because not everybody can have Robert's grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So, Wes, how'd you get credibility in the neighborhoods to be able to do this?
Well, I think a lot of it is just my own story. I mean, I'm a kid who didn't come up in Chicago, but came up in Baltimore. And so, you know, the challenges that folks are talking about in Chicago, there's no difference in the challenges that the folks talk about in Baltimore. And, you know, how we even first came up with the concept and the idea was really through my personal experiences. You know, I wrote a book called The Other Westmore, where I profiled, you know, both my life and my journey, but also the life and journey of another Wes Moore, who also grew up in Baltimore, similar areas, who's now in year 14 of his life sentence for felony murder. And the story details the life of these two kids and what ends up happening that causes this split. One of the big things that the book talks about and features is the role that education played. And that's really where, when I got together with Todd Lendon, we thought about, okay, how do we tell the story about the role that education plays? And then how do we think about the challenges and the structural challenges that many young people face when it comes time for them to navigate the world of education, and particularly higher ed? And so that was really the origin of all the difference. So this is this isn't just a kind of like a voyeuristic activity for me. I mean, this is a very personal process and a very personal journey that that we wanted to share.
Wes, I read your book. I loved it, by the way. But, you know, I'm out and covering many of these stories, these shootings on the weekends in many of these neighborhoods. And I'm from Southside, a little bit further than you are, Robert. But my question to you is, how are families trying to protect each other? How do they survive? Because so much now is, it used to be turf wars. You know, you knew what areas to avoid or what side of the street to avoid. But now there's so much random gunfire and spraying of the bullets that innocent kids are getting hit and people walking out of the Starbucks.
His gangbangers are shooting the wrong people.
Right. So how do you protect yourselves from that? What would be maybe a first step to try that, aside from getting the guns off the streets, all of them?
Yeah, well, and so I think it's one of the most complicated things that we all have to deal with, because you have to understand, A, that the neighborhoods in which a lot of this fear and violence exist in, and what brings people to think that this is a rational and this is the best way of life that they have to think about. The thing is, though, is that all we really have is us within these neighborhoods and these situations. How we take care of each other, how the role that schools play, the role that health plays, how we think about it in a holistic way of community development, I think is going to matter deeply. I mean, Baltimore, Maryland, you know, where I live right now, is going through the same type of challenge where we're watching, you know, not just the level of violence, but the brazenness of the violence becomes not just frustrating, but heartbreaking for all of us. We have to understand that simply having vigils after the violence happens is not going to be enough. Having candlelights and having marches is not going to be enough. There has to be a way to be able to penetrate the families. Then the families then penetrate the neighborhoods. But it has to be holistic, where everybody feels a sense of vested interest. Because right now, I'm just not sure if everyone fully understands the level of heartbreak and discontent that exists in so many of these neighborhoods.
Well, I think the president said it best a while ago, and he was actually talking about something different, but he said, your thoughts and prayers aren't enough. My thoughts and prayers aren't enough.
They're not enough.
Kneeling during an anthem's not enough. Posting something on Facebook's not enough. You got to get involved. You got to push the people who make the decisions on where to spend the money to spend it appropriately. And by the way, The inequality in education funding is just an embarrassment. And if you took the money that is spent well in suburban neighborhoods and you took it all away and you funded schools in those suburban neighborhoods the same way it's funded in some of the roughest neighborhoods in the inner city and some neighborhoods that aren't so rough but also aren't getting enough funding, guess what? You'd have crime. You'd have problems. You've had kids with those troubles because it comes right back to what you said, Wes. It's about the education.
And Steve, amen. Because and it's also about the money that goes unused when it's supposed to be used for a different reason, right? I mean, there's about $7.5 billion every single year that's left on the table.
I can't believe that.
Pell Grant money that students qualify for, but they're not properly filling out the FAFSA, or they get flagged for verification and they don't complete the process. $7.5 billion that's going towards students' education that does not get claimed. We have to remember that the challenges taking place in neighborhoods, they're not just their problems. They're all of our problems.
That's
because
right.
we cannot have a safer community if such large portions of our society have a complete indifference about the success of our larger society.
Yeah, ain't that a shame? That's too much of our attitudes. Isn't that a shame? What's going on there?
Yeah.
It's not enough. Well, listen, I salute what you guys have done, and I'm telling you, Robert, stay the course, man. You're an amazing young man just from talking to you. And if you don't give that grandmother a hug and call her today from Colorado, wherever you are, I'm going to tell her where you are, and she'll take care of you.
Hopefully I'm going to see her tonight.
That's what I wanted to hear. All right, it's you can go to POV.org, but again, remind everybody, it's WTTW win. Wes, have I got you still?
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry, Wes, when is it on, Monday night?
It is on Monday night at 9 p.m. On WTTW. So we're excited about not just the airing of it, but we're excited about the outreach and the conversation and the impact that we're hoping it will make about policy and it will make about families and communities.
Nice work, gentlemen. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having us.
All right, see you guys. I want to meet his grandmother.
Oh, my gosh, right? She's probably 5 feet tall.
Yeah.
Comes after him with
be,
a wooden spoon, right? Like all our grandmas did.
9:54, Bill and Wendy coming up, and a quick story about 9/11 before we go on 720.